That is a lot of veteran leadership that won't be with us. So you're always a little bit concerned about that. We have a strong locker room, strong leadership foundation in the NFL. The wheel keeps turning, and that's what we're about, is, you know, trying to get ready for the next game. But we feel confident in our leadership in our locker room. Well, similar. You know, we've had some losses in terms of guys taking really good jobs around the league. We encourage that. We foster it. It's something that Ron Wolf started back in the day. That's the reason I was able to go out to Seattle in the first place and work with Coach Holmgren. But, yeah, it's next man up. You try to train your players, and you try to train your personnel staff and your coaching staff to take the next step and to be able to grow and to evolve. And the NFL is all about evolving. The Baltimore Ravens are the world champions. They would like to hold all that together and keep it and go forward like the 29 and the 30 Yankees or whatever it was. You can't do that in the NFL anymore. The NFL is always evolving, so you have to continue to evolve. And I think our players do a good job of that. They've had to do it because of injuries and things like that, a little bit more abnormal than normal. And I think our personnel staff does the same thing. We put some people in position to take on more leadership, and it's the next man up. But we're very happy for all the guys that have gotten those good jobs, and they're going to do a great job around the league and kind of carry on probably much the way Ron Wolf taught us all. Well, I mean, I'm certainly happy for them. They're all really good friends of mine. I just saw them all downstairs. I mean, we'll see a lot of each other this week. So, we're not having a reunion, so to speak, but we're very good friends. And we're also, you know, I think all of those guys have a little bit more appreciation, as did I when I first got this job, of the responsibilities and the enormity of the task at time and the need to have good people around you and all that sort of thing. But they're doing a good job, and I'm proud of them. They don't need me to be, but I am. I expect him to get through this injury bug and come back and play and be a good player for the Packers. Well, we're expecting him back. I don't really have any injury updates at this point because off season is the off season. But we expect those guys to be able to come back and play. Looking forward to having them. Yeah, well, I'm not even talking about specifically any of our scheduled to be unrestricted free agents, other than to say it is our policy. We think it's a good way to manage the NFL if you're able to retain your own players, and we would very much like to do that. That includes Greg. No, John is. John doesn't need my advice, but we talk. It's like I said. I saw him earlier today, and he's going a million miles an hour because he's trying to get up to speed. And him and Andy both are really good football people. I've worked with both of them. The Chiefs are in good hands. I promise you on that. We will all talk. I mean, I talk with John Schneider. I talk with Reggie McKenzie, other people around the league that I've worked with. You're always bouncing ideas off of people and, you know, trying to figure out, you know, the right thing to do, because sometimes it gets lonely when you're the person making that point decision. So we talk from time to time. I haven't given him any real advice other than to just try to be himself. Well, surprisingly, I've been spending most of my time worrying about the situation at Green Bay, so I'm not quite as versed as I should be. The NFL is a tough business. Everybody knows it, and the higher you get, the tougher it gets. And John knows that. He knows what's going on in the real world, but they'll do a good job. That's a good group.
John, much like you as a player, moving into player personnel, how does being a player help you in your advancement and your understanding of player personnel?
I don't know. I think there's some advantage. We have scouts that have played the game, both collegiately and professionally. We have scouts that have never played the game. I personally think there's an advantage, but it's not an end-all, be-all. It doesn't mean that you can't be a good scout. Ron Wolf, one of the best scouts I've ever been around, never really played. So, but I think there's an advantage, but I'm not sure that you can look back on it after 30 years and say this is the reason this happened. Right. That's the way to put it. See, I'm not smart enough to know that. Well, he did a good job, and we're looking forward to having him here for the whole thing, because when you come in the middle of the season, you don't go through the off season. You don't get to see him in training camp and in the stress times and things like that. You're already in the regular season, so there's a lot more we need to get to know about him, but he did a very nice job for us. Okay, now get closer so I can hear that.
At the combine, what is the most underrated indicator of success in the NFL? Is there any aspect of what you see here extended?
Right. Well, I think a lot of people focus on, you know, the 40-yard dashes or the jumps or the physical testing. Some people, you know, focus on the interviews. At the end of the day, all of us, all 32 teams, all the 32 other people that are in my position at other places are going to have to, when they make that decision on the player they bring in, it's can that player help them win games? Does he have this inside thing that allows him to go beyond what he maybe normally would do? There's an it factor. I don't know how to quantify it, to use your term. I don't know how to quantify that, but there is, and that's you can't find it. You don't really know it until you see it, and usually it's already too late. If you know what I'm saying, it's hard to do that just from going to the school, watching the tape, talking to the coaches, seeing the player practice, writing the report that night. It's hard to find that it thing, but you know it when you see it. When you have them on your team, you know those guys with the it. I think Ron was very good at that. He, like I said, he's the best scout I've ever been around, and he taught us all well. But there's an instinctive quality of finding that I've seen it from time to time, but I don't see it as much as I wished I could, and I wished I had more illumination, so to speak. Not very. There are different reporters like yourselves around the country that are pretty good at it because they have different contacts around the league. We have friends in different positions like the ones that I talked about, John Schneider, Reggie McKenzie. There's conversations going on, so you kind of bounce things off, but nobody really tells the truth. So you have to discern what's truth and what's the untruth and what's the truth that he's trying to get me to buy into so that I believe the untruth. It's all a mess. You don't know. So at the end of the day, you really got to think, can this guy help us play or help us win games, or can he not?
And if you've got him as a third rounder and you're confident in that, he'll care.
Yeah, if he can play, he can play. Yeah, you know, you'd like to think, boy, I'd hate to pay more, you know, because I'm my father's son. He's a very frugal man. And if I can buy a Coca-Cola for 25 cents instead of 50 cents, I'm going to go to the store that the 25 cents. But it's not that way in the draft. You can't always shop bargain basement prices.
So, you guys focused on defense last year in the NFL draft. Seeing the way the 49ers ran that read option, do you think that's a possible trend or bad, or will that kind of be here to stay the way
offense? The San Francisco offense? I don't know. I mean, history will determine that. It certainly, there are several teams that are doing maybe not exactly the same thing that the 49ers are doing, but something similar or maybe akin to it. Not really. I think, you know, you find good players, and good players can figure out a way to do the other stuff. So I don't think you're going to make a personnel decision based solely on that. But because, you know, it's like the old argument about 4-3 players as opposed to 3-4 players and that whole thing. I think if you find a really good defensive player in college that's played against top competition and you know he's going to be that same kind of player in the NFL, just take him and figure out how you're going to use him or what position you're going to put him at.
Ted, you talked about bargains. Well, at the end of the season with the starting right tackle who's undrafted, what has Don Barkley meant to the team? What's he been able to improve?
Don did a very good job. He was forced into action before he thought he was probably going to be forced into it, and before we thought he was going to be forced into it, but he held his own. I think, you know, the value of that was to see some of the things that he's going to need to work on into the future, and I think it's also an indication of how our coaches are willing to put young players in, and if they can do the job, they'll be the ones that play. The question was about if with the evolution of throwing the ball all over the park in the NFL, has the receiver position evaluations changed? No. I think you still look for, you know, you want the big, fast guys, but guys that catch the ball, guys that are instinctive, guys that certainly have the ability to run after the catch, all those things are the same as it was in 1992 when I first started scouting. And I suspect it was the same as it was always. You know, you got to be able to catch the ball.
Two more questions. How does Cedric
Benson? Well, Cedric is scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent. We don't discuss specifically those guys other than to say it is our we think it's our best practices to try to retain as many of those guys as we can.
Ted, your division is strong and seems to be getting stronger. Does that make you better at your job?
No, I wish it would not get better. I wish it would get less. I don't know. This division has always been tough. There have been times when we were fortunate enough to win all of them, not many, but all of our divisional games. But every one of those games was tough because it's like, you know, cousins or brothers playing brothers. I mean, we know each other so well. We've never gone into a game since I started in this business in 1992 playing a divisional rival that we thought it was going to be easy or anything like that. It's you just have to get ready for it. It's a whole different focus.
Thank you.